The 11th verse of the 4th chapter.
You want us to put it up?
Yeah, you can put it up, yeah.
4th chapter.
11. We're going to do Kirtan first. But that verse basically says, what you give is what you get back. And so we're going to do a little Kirtan. And when we're doing kirtan, it can be experienced differently by every single person in this room according to what they give. And, you know, a lot of times we think, well, it's just a mantra. And if you chant a mantra, it should have the same effect. But that is 100% incorrect. The effect it has is dependent on the mood, the focus, the devotion, the love that we put into it. So, most of us know this bhajan. This is Jai Radha Madhava. This is a song about Vrindavan. It's a very sacred place. Most of us have been there. But if you haven't been there, you can go there through this song. And if you have been there, you can go back there through this song. What's interesting about Vrindavan or anything spiritual, it's not within three dimensions, so you can go there and have a full experience of it in your mind, in your heart, just by remembering it. I don't think that's so difficult to understand, because I could just take you on a guided meditation and have you imagine you're eating a lemon and you'll actually go like this. Did you know that? You'll actually experience it. So, even materially it's true, but of course, there's no lemon there. But when you meditate on Vrindavan, Vrindavan is there. That's different. It can be here because it's not limited by time and space in this world. And if you don't know the words, just listen and the plane is taking off. Here we go. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Shamini Ki Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Kucharine Nervise Sasanivari Paschati Vasacharine. So we're going to read, as I said, from chapter 4, text 11, so we can chant it together. It's on the board. Ye kamam prapadjante. Tamstadaiva bhajamyaham. Tamstadaiva bhajam. Mama vartmanu vartante. Manisha parto sarvasha. Ye kamam prapadjante. Tamstadhaiva bhajamyaham. Namavatmanu vartante. Manusha parta sarvasha. Yetamam prapadyante. Tamstadhaiva bhajamyaham. Nama Vatmanu Vartante Manusha Parta Sarvashaha Manusha Go for it.
Yekam prapadyante.
Samstataiva
vajamaham. Prapadyante, surrender, tang, them, tata, so, eva, certainly, vajami, reward, aham, I, mama, my, Vartma, path, Anuvartante, follow, Manushaha, all men, Parta, Osana Prita, Sarvashaha, in all respect, as all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. You can repeat. As all surrender unto me,
I reward them accordingly.
Everyone follows my path
in all respects.
O son of Pritha.
Pritha.
The first thing that may come to mind is Krishna says, as they all surrender, and we know not everyone even believes in God, what to speak of give their life to him. So what does Krishna mean, as they all surrender? Well, it actually means, as they all surrender unto me, either in my internal energy spiritually, or surrender to my external energy materially. As you know, sometimes Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, would speak to people and he'd say, you know, you're always under control of something. And they would say, no, I'm not under control. And of course he would say, yeah, well, you're getting old, you're dying, like that. You are under control. So when Krishna says, as they surrender, it means either voluntarily or involuntarily. It's not that everyone is surrendered in a positive way. So let's read the purport. Everyone is searching for Krishna in the different aspects of his manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in his impersonal Brahma Jyoti effulgence, and as the all-pervading supersoul dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is fully realized only by his pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization. And thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. In the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees in the transcendental attitude, just as the devotee wants him. One devotee may want Krishna as Supreme Master, another as his personal friend, another as his son, and still another as his lover. Krishna rewards all the devotees equally, according to their different intensities of love for him. In the material world, the same reciprocation of feelings are there, and they are equally exchanged by the Lord with the different types of worshipers. The pure devotees, both here and in the transcendental abode, associate with him in person and are able to render personal service to the Lord, and thus derive transcendental bliss in his loving service. As for those who are impersonalist and who want to commit spiritual suicide by annihilating the individual existence of a living entity, Krishna helps also by absorbing them into his effulgence. Such impersonalists do not agree to accept the eternal blissful personality of Godhead. So there's one thing that's, if you study Prabhupada's books, there's one thing that you will find quite often, that anytime there's any mention of anything directly or indirectly or remotely referring to the impersonal aspect of God, God's energy, Prabhupada will talk about it. Even if it's just like a little inference. Maybe the verse is about something else, but there's an inference there. He will definitely talk about it because he knows that everyone has a loving relationship with the person Krishna, and if you don't know about the person, you can't have a loving relationship. So he will take every opportunity to explain that. And Prabhupada has a prana mantra, a mantra to our spiritual master, and in his prana mantra, which he wrote himself, it says that he would do this. That's what he's doing. He's addressing this reality. So we see it here in the purport. Consequently, they cannot relish the bliss of transcendental personal service to the Lord, having extinguished their individuality. Some of them, who are not firmly situated even in the impersonal existence, return to this material field to exhibit their dormant desires for activities. They are not admitted into the spiritual planet, but they are again given a chance to act on the material planet. For those who are fruitive workers, the Lord awards the desired results of their prescribed duties as the Yajneshvara. And those who are yogis seeking mystic powers are awarded such powers. In other words, everyone is dependent for success upon his mercy alone. And all kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path. Unless, therefore, one comes to the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, all attempts remain imperfect, as is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Akama Sarva Kama Va. Mokshakama udarati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, or is desirous of all fruitive results, or is after liberation, one should, with all efforts, try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada Kiji. So I wanted to talk about this verse in the broadest possible way I could, because there are verses in Bhagavad Gita that in my life they just always show up, because they just, life gives us certain experiences over and over again, and these verses just show up. And so we know whatever we put out, we get back. So this verse is, it's always showing up, isn't it? Because the efforts we put into anything, the attitudes we put into anything, is what we get out of it. So I want to share something with you that may be helpful. Imagine that another translation of this verse read something like, whatever you say to me, I say yes. Whatever you say to me, whatever you think, whatever you say, I say yes. All right, now think about everything you think. And Krishna's saying yes to everything. Or think about everything you could think that Krishna could say yes to. And he is saying yes to it. It's not a theory. It's actually happening. And just like in this verse, Prabhupada's saying, Krishna will adapt to whatever we want, whatever relationship we want with him, he'll provide that and he'll adapt to it. It's quite interesting, isn't it? It's like, you want this relationship with me? Okay, yes, you can have it. You don't want to see me as a person? Okay, yes. I'm not. You want a personal relationship with me as a friend, lover? Okay, you can have that. So, in meditating on this, I was thinking of some thoughts that devotees commonly share with me, like it's very difficult to chant good rounds. Those of you who don't know us, we chant on beads 2 hours every day. That's our vow. You ever try to control your mind for 2 hours? You ever try to control it for a minute? It's not easy, right? But focus on something, right? That's why the reels are 1 minute. Past 1 minute, good luck, right? If you're a teacher, you know you've got about a half hour before, if you're lucky. I don't know, do you have even a half hour for them to focus? How long? 15 minutes? 25, all right. 25 and rapidly decreasing, right? So naturally, we might say, it's really difficult to control my mind. Arjuna said it to Krishna. You remember that verse? We're talking about controlling the mind, and Arjuna says, it's difficult to control the mind. What? Chanchalam hi mana Krishna. Yeah, so, have you ever said that? It's difficult to control the mind? You ever said that? You ever thought that? Ever expressed it? You ever experienced it? Do you ever meditate on it? Ever complain about it? Well, if you have, every time you've done one of those, Krishna said, yes, you're right. Did that help? No, it made it worse. You see where I'm going with this? Just imagine Krishna was with you, and every time you complained, he agreed with you. Well, you don't have to imagine, because it's actually what's happening, but it's nice to imagine it because you get the picture. It's so difficult to fill in the blank, and Krishna says, yes, you're right. Now, our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, had a phrase which he used often, which is quite different from this, which is, what is the difficulty? Because whenever a devotee would say, something like, it's difficult, he would say some variety of either what is the difficulty or something in that general direction. Once a devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, it's difficult to control the mind when I chant. Prabhupada said, you don't need the mind to chant. He said, just chant and hear. So that was kind of a, what is the difficulty? You know, like, you don't make things difficult. So anytime you think something's difficult, Krishna says, yes, you're right, it's very difficult. Krishna, I can't do this. Yes, you can't. So just think about this, like how often we do that. Huh, it's so hot today. It's so cold today. This is so difficult. And every time you say something, Krishna's saying, yeah, so hot today. So cold today. So difficult. So hard. You ever have that experience? He's just saying, yes, I could never learn this kirtan. I could never learn this verse. It's too complicated. I couldn't learn this meter. And Krishna says, yes, you could never learn it. Knowing this, now we could think, okay, let's flip it around. If I say, Krishna, it may be difficult, but I could do it, then what does Krishna say? He said, yeah, you can do it. He just flips it around. Now, look at Bhagavad Gita. There's something interesting. I find it interestingly amusing. Because Arjuna said, the mind is like the wind. It's difficult to control. And often, when we reflect on the difficulty of controlling the mind, we quote that verse as if that is a evidence that the mind cannot be controlled. That's not Krishna speaking, that's Arjuna. Isn't that interesting? It's like, oh, I can't control my mind, and proof that this is bona fide that I can't control my mind is this verse in Bhagavad Gita. Wait a minute, that was Arjuna. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is playing the part of a conditioned, struggling, living entity, not a purified soul. So if you're repeating what Arjuna says, you also have to repeat the other things, like, Krishna, I can't fight. I can't do this. And my mind is reeling. And so obviously we don't do that. But with this verse, we do it. Have you ever noticed that? That verse is often quoted to support, to substantiate the difficulty in controlling the mind? Like, why would you want to do that? Wouldn't you want to quote the verse after, where Krishna says, yeah, you can do it, it's possible, and you have to practice. Isn't that interesting? It's kind of amusing, isn't it? So, now, this verse is interesting because you can juxtapose this verse with Samaham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dvesho Stinapriha, where Krishna says, I'm equal to all, I don't hate anybody, I don't love anybody. But if you become my devotee, naturally you get my mercy, you're dear to me. Now, it's very interesting. Prabhupada said, Krishna loves us. God loves us even if we don't love him. That's pretty positive, don't you think? Well, that's very positive. He loves us even if we don't love him. But just because he loves us doesn't mean that necessarily benefits us, because we have to take the love. And if we run away from the love, it doesn't benefit us. Now, some of us know that Krishna loves us, we just don't fully believe it. I know he loves me, but some devotees say, I know he does, but I don't understand why he would. Maybe he doesn't know everything about me, and if he did, he would change his mind. In fact, one devotee said something really interesting. She knew Krishna loved her because that's what Krishna says, and that's what our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, says. And she said, but I don't love myself. And I don't know if I could trust in a God who loves me because I'm so bad. If he loves me, there must be something wrong with him. And she was serious. Yeah, one comedian said, anyone who would let me in their religion, I would never join. Because I'm such a bad person. If they let me in, that means that religion I wouldn't want to be part of it, that they would let such bad people into it. So it is a fact, and there is evidence, lots of evidence. In Bhagavad Gita, in the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, I'm speaking this message to you because priyo sime, priyo means dear. But Srila Prabhupada translated once in the lecture this word dear as, not I'm speaking because you're dear to me, I'm speaking because I love you. So if you're ever wondering, where in the Gita did Krishna say I love you, it's right there. Priyo can be translated as love. In this case, it was. I'm speaking this Bhagavad Gita because I love you. Okay, yeah, that makes sense because you want me to go back to Godhead, so you're speaking the Bhagavad Gita. I know that. All right, great. You know it. Now, what if you don't believe it? Then what happens? Krishna, I know you love me, but so hard to believe that you would love me. And what does Krishna say? Yes, it's hard to believe I would love you, isn't it? Worse, you can say, Krishna, I know you love me, but I just don't feel it. I just can't accept. Yes. In fact, I will help you not feel it, since I reciprocate accordingly. Isn't that interesting? So this is quite common. I know. You ever said, I know? But, never said, I know, but? Raise your hand if you've ever said or thought, I know, but. All right, if you didn't raise your hand, you did not understand the question. So, I know, but means, I know, but I don't feel like, I know I should do this, but I don't feel like doing it. No, is that more clear? You ever had that experience? I know I shouldn't eat that sweet, but. I feel like it. So like my head knows it, right? The head knows so many things that the heart doesn't feel, right? I know I should, but I don't feel. So what does Krishna say? Yeah, I know you know and you don't feel. Yeah, exactly. So it's just, he's just exactly reciprocating. Now, do you ever set your mind on a goal and make a determination and actually do it? I'm sure you have. Who's helping you do that when you say, I'm going to do this? Do you ever, like, I'm doing it? And then what does Krishna say? Krishna says, yes, you are. You're doing it. But it's actually we're doing it. So I'm not doing it. We're not doing it. I'm doing it. We're doing it. That's how it works with Krishna. Now, the reason I find this so interesting is because if you think like this, you cannot blame anybody else for what's going on. If you don't think like this, you could kind of blame Krishna. Like, he doesn't love me because I'm not rich and famous or whatever it is, or I'm not becoming Krishna conscious, or maybe he doesn't like me. No. Not like that, but it could seem that way. All he's doing is helping you whichever way you want to go and agreeing with you. So you can't make an excuse because you're the one that fed him. He doesn't know what you want until you tell him or you think it. You know, Prabhupada says, I have to paraphrase this. Prabhupada says, if you want to love Krishna, there'll be no obstacle. If you want to love Krishna, there will be no obstacle. So now, if we analyze that, if there is an obstacle, maybe the reason is I don't want to love Krishna, or I don't want to love him enough. What do you think? Is that logical? There's some obstacle. What is the obstacle? Because Srila Prabhupada said, if you want to love Krishna, there will be no obstacle. Have you ever gotten an idea that was helpful? Oh, I just got an idea. Yes or yes? Have you ever gotten a realization that was like really helpful? You know, like some confusion, some epiphany, some insight, and it was like the fog in your life just dissipated. You ever have that? Like you're just walking down the street, minding your own business, but something's in your heart and mind, and it's been there for days, months, weeks, lifetimes, and all of a sudden, you just get a realization, and you're like, oh my God. That's the answer. That ever happened? Yes or yes? Where did it come from? It came from Krishna, situated in the heart, because he knew what you wanted, right? Did you ever get inspired to forget Krishna and enjoy the material world? You don't have to raise your hand. I already know the answer is yes. Every question I'm asking you, the answer is yes. It happens, right? Why does it happen? How does it happen? Because we're directing Krishna. Or more specifically, we could say we are calling Maya. Please come, I'm ready. So we direct our consciousness, energy, the reciprocations there, you can't blame anybody. This is what this verse is saying. So it goes all the way up to what relationship we want with Krishna, or what realization we want from him, or even if we don't even want him at all and we want to believe he doesn't exist, that's also, he will arrange that. So you say, God doesn't exist. And God says, yes, you're right. I don't exist. And he's giving you that information. Isn't that interesting? It's a fact, because you can read books on atheism with amazing arguments, philosophical, logical, and scientific arguments proving, so-called, that God doesn't exist. And very, very good arguments. I mean, we don't think they're good, but let's just be a little neutral and say something. They have intelligence behind them. So the atheist says, God doesn't exist. And Krishna says, okay, I'm going to hide from you. You'll never find me. Because you don't want to see me? I'm not going to show myself to you. And I will convince you that I don't exist, because that's what you want to believe. So all the way, the whole gamut, to going back to Godhead or Krishna being invisible to us, he's just saying, yes. So, I think you know the conclusion of this talk, obviously, is be careful what you say and think, because he's going to say yes. Right? And so you can use it to your advantage, or you can use it against you, right? Now you might say, well, could I just say, I need money? You could say that, and he'll just say, yeah, you do need money. Or you could say, Krishna, I know you'll take care of me. And he'll say, yeah, I'll take care of you. So, you know, there's different ways of putting things and get it. But Krishna's always going to say yes, you know, to whatever you say. So we could stop here, because it's always nice to have some discussion, comments or questions or doubts or whatever. So anybody, yes. Is there a wireless? There is. No, it's coming.
Hare Krishna. Sometimes in Prabhupada's writings, we read that Krishna won't give the devotees something that distracts them from Krishna. Or sometimes Prabhupada will even go further and say that if the devotees wishy-washy, uncertain, Krishna will take things away in a kind of destructive manner to force the devotee into the mood of surrender. How does that interact with this perfect reciprocation?
Because, well, there's a bit of a qualification of what kind of devotee Krishna will do that to. If the devotee is running headlong into Maya, and that's really where he wants to go, Krishna's going to say, go for it. It's for the sincere devotee. So, you know, it's like Krishna knows what you want, so he's going to trip you up if you try to go in the other direction. And that's because you're sincere. And in some cases, Prabhupada refers to it as a special devotee, like Parikshit Maharaj or himself, who is meant for a special service. Krishna will create situations. Now, I think all of us, or most of us, if we look at our journey to Krishna consciousness, we could see some bad things happened in our life, which were absolutely necessary to give us realizations and experiences that we needed to be able to finally give up enough of that separatist mood, independence, to be devotees. And so we could say that was exactly what we're talking about. So we're saying yes. Sometimes it's subconscious yes. Sometimes it's a helpless yes. Krishna, please help me. I want everything but you, but please help me. And that's also bhakti, you know. Helplessness is also part of it, because sometimes all we have is helplessness. We don't have the power. We don't have the strength on our own to do anything, so we can just be helpless. So, but what we have seen is someone who is determined to be in Maya, sincerely determined to not be Krishna conscious, Krishna will let them go. So, you know, you have both sides, but it really depends on what's in your heart and how determined you are one way or the other. So be careful. You know, Krishna, he knows everything that we're thinking, even knows what we don't know we're thinking. So, and he's reciprocal. The proof of that is we're here. So he knew we wanted to be here. But you don't have to stay. And he can give you 108 reasons why not to be here, if that's what you want, right? Or 108 to stay. He can give you 100 ways to see clear out of this world, or 108 ways to stay in so-called enjoy it. Just depends what you want, and he'll give you the vision. So whenever you have difficulty in spiritual life, then you have to go back and say, is it because I really don't want to be Krishna conscious, or I'm afraid, or there's something in there that's holding me back, and Krishna's just reciprocating with it? Because we all have lots of fear, because we cherish our independence. So we have fear of losing our independence, as if we actually have any in the first place. So it's an illusion. But when we have that fear of losing it, then we're sending a message to Krishna that I want to be independent of you. Even though consciously, philosophically, I don't want to be, but in my heart I do. So we have this paradox. So we really need to align it, and then things will go better. And so a lot of us in the beginnings of our, even maybe later, we're conflicted, because the mind knows and the heart is reluctant to agree or know what the mind knows, to admit it, to do it. Therefore, I know I should, but I don't feel like it. That's a really bad place to be. If you want to suffer, I can't think of a better way to suffer than not to do what you know is in your highest good. There's a prayer by Narhari, there's some prayers by Narhari Sakara. And in his last prayer, he's praying, may I have the mercy of Mahaprabhu, may I have the mercy of Radha, may I have mercy of the devotees, may have love for Krishna, love for Radha, and he said, may have love for myself. Like, can I love myself enough to do, to get my head, what's in my head, into my action? Can I love myself that much that I will do it? Then I would say, if you want a definition of what loving yourself is, that's it. You do everything you know is in your highest good and well-being. And we don't always do that, and that causes immense suffering. And what's important to understand and interesting to understand is that when you come to a spiritual movement or a spiritual philosophy, you're going to learn lots of things you should do that are not easy to do. So you could be setting yourself up for a lot of difficulty if you don't do them, because now you have so many more things you know you should do that you never knew you should do, that if you don't do, it's going to create a very subtle kind of guilt and shame within you. And that's not good. And so if you actually care about yourself, the greatest gift you can give yourself is to act on what you know you should do, because you'll feel beautiful. When I became a devotee when I was 19, I was living in Berkeley. Berkeley was by far in the top three most degraded places in the three worlds. It might have been number one. So it was not necessarily the easiest place in 1969 to extract yourself from to become a Hare Krishna, because you had facility to break all the principles multiple times a day with ease. I mean, you're just like, you didn't even have to want to break them, and you would. So I remember when I became a devotee, it was, you know, the emotional experience was I just turned my back on all of that, and I felt like I have just conquered the universe. It was such a fantastic feeling. I felt like the most powerful person on the planet at that point. I go, oh my God, I just gave up. I gave up all the things that every person in this town and every person, almost every person in the university is doing, and I walked away from it. That was such a powerful feeling. And you can have that feeling now every time you turn your back to that thing that you like to do and you say, I'm not doing it. You feel that power. And that power gives you strength to do it again and again and again, and vice versa. If you don't, then you get weak. And next time it's harder. Next time it's harder. So I think that the greatest act of self-love we could give ourselves is to do what we know we should do always. And we'll be powerful and satisfied, guilt-free, shame-free, and totally in alignment with what's in our heart. What could be better than that? And look at the result you'll get. Go back to Godhead at the end. Is that okay? Yes. Hare Krishna. You know how many times Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, said, don't make me come, I will have to come back to get you, don't make me come back to get you. He said that many times, not like once. Whenever he was asked, can we go back to Godhead in this lifetime? He'd say, yeah, and he'd say, and do it, and don't make me come back to get you. So that's, you know, that's a gift. If you want to give yourself a gift, give yourself the gift of following the process of Krishna consciousness in a way you can go back to Godhead. That is a real gift to yourself. Yes?
So you stated in the, like, most of the lecture that Krishna always say yes. And there's another statement that usually the devotees said that Krishna please their devotees. So
what was that,
Krishna? That Krishna always please their devotees.
Yeah.
So then let's see if we have this situation. There's two brahmacharis that they want to get married with the same Mataji. How Krishna deals with it?
One he's merciful to and one he isn't. Now you have to guess which one he's merciful to and which one he isn't. Maybe we'll just leave it there. You have something to go home and meditate on. Whatever, we should have faith that whatever we need for our spiritual advancement, Krishna will give it. But we need to let him give it by having a pure desire. Because if you have an impure desire, he'll give you the thing that may not be the best for you because you want it. And he's like, okay, take it. You know, you're not going to learn that it's really not good for you because you're stubborn, so I'll give it to you. And then you can learn that way, through suffering. So the real thing is to have to have a sincere desire, free from excuse, free from attachment to what we want, but just the pure desire, and then to be Krishna conscious and let Krishna then direct us, and he'll always direct us in the best way. Hari Bol. And you know, it's not that Krishna, you know, Krishna loves me, so he's going to give me all these material things that just work out beautifully. That doesn't mean he loves you when he does that. He's going to give you what you need to become purified. That's how he loves you. Or take away what you're attached to. But I think it's important sometimes, because you might think, oh, Krishna has given me all this trouble because I need it, but it may not be that he's given you all this trouble. It may be that you're giving yourself all this trouble because you made some bad decisions. So you don't want to blame Krishna for all your trouble thing. It's just his mercy. He took everything away. No, you did a stupid business deal and you lost everything. So that could be the reason also, right? Yes.
Or I need it.
Yeah, I don't
deserve. Upadrasta anumanta. Anumanta, the word anumanta means he sanctioned. But he sanctioned only after checking whether I need it, I deserve it. Otherwise he doesn't sanction. The beings will manifest only after he sanctioned. Maya Devi will manifest or Jogamaya will manifest.
But the sanction is, yeah. I mean, yeah, because he's the doer. So he's got to sanction everything.
But I'm the initiating cause, but yeah. Initiating cause doesn't mean I'm eligible or Krishna will sanction.
But you're sending him the signal what you want, and then he'll decide. Right?
If I'm qualified, yeah. Krishna sees this is required.
Yeah, and we're also qualified to get our sinful reactions for that also. So yeah, we can't make it happen, we can only try. But he likes to reciprocate. He loves to do that, especially with devotees, obviously. So you know that you ever heard it said, be careful what you pray for because you might get it. So you know, we could write this movie. What the world would be like if everything everybody wanted happened. It'd be like total chaos in the world, you know, every thought. And I go, oh, Hugo's here. Why did he have to come here? I wish he'd be back. Where are you living now? South Carolina? North Carolina?
South.
I wish he'd be back in South. He's back in South Carolina. Look at so-and-so. I hate you. I wish he'd just drop dead. Boom, he's back. You can imagine a world like that, you know, where every desire we have would be fulfilled. Which is why nobody can go back to Godhead who's not pure, because if you went back to God and you weren't pure, and everything in the spiritual world is fulfilling your desires, it'd be a total disaster. And which is why Krishna doesn't fulfill all desires, because it wouldn't be good. But there's a godbrother of mine who told me something interesting. It was either him or someone asked Prabhupada and said, like, well, you know, Krishna wants us to love him, so why doesn't he just give it? You know, wouldn't you ever think like that? And it was like, all this work, you know. And he's saying, love me. And I was like, yeah, it was harder, you know, easier said than done. You know, why don't you just like, boom. And then, you know, I love you. You know, and then I'll be a good devotee. And everything will be nice. And Prabhupada said something interesting. He said, because if it happens like that, you're not actually qualified to hold that love. And that love would be bad for you. Because Prabhupada said you'd become proud because you're not pure enough to hold. So if Krishna just gave you the love, you're not pure enough to hold it. So you think, oh, I have love of Krishna. I'm the best devotee in the temple. Then you become proud and lose it. Isn't that interesting? So, you know, if Krishna's going to bless us, we have to be the container has to be big enough and strong enough to hold it, not crack. So, you know, he puts us, he's like, okay, Krishna, I can give this. And Krishna goes, okay, a little bit. I'll give you this much. Let's see how you do. But yeah, you're right. It's not us that's making it. We're not making it happen. We're just pointing to him, saying, can you make it happen? So, I mean, it's also our job as devotees to pray. But you know, it's like if I say, Prangovindya, can you help me with this? And you say, yeah. And I say, we need to move this table. You go to the table and I walk away. You know, so some people pray like that. They pray, God, can you help me? He says, okay. And they don't try. They just want to pray and go to sleep. Right? So Krishna's looking at, you know, obviously Krishna's smarter, smarter than all of us. So he's like, you know, he wants, you know, you do something. And your effort is also a prayer. Yes.
At 6:34 that you brought in the beginning of your today's discussion, it's a very healthy discussion, I think it's very nice. You said one of the two things Krishna suggested. He says, abhasana to kunteya bairagyana cha grijyate. So you said the practice, we have to cultivate, but he also said develop detachment. I want to hear what is your view on that.
Yeah, well, why is it so hard to control the mind? Because we're attached to certain thoughts that are destructive. Because we want to enjoy. Now, here's something I find extremely important, and we don't talk about it a lot. We stop doing sinful activities. We give up attachment to many things, but we don't give up attachment in the mind. So now we're enjoying. Well, I can't enjoy it with my body because I made a vow to not do it, and if I did, anyway, everybody would see me, but they can't see what I'm thinking. So I just enjoy it in my mind. So proper detachment has to be give it up in the mind also, not just give it up in the practice. And it's dangerous to not give it up in the mind because you might start doing it. But fully giving something up has to be both heart and mind. That now the heart's open so Krishna can go in. But at first, still meditating and enjoying it in the mind, it's like, you know what's wrong with that also, just from neural science? The mind doesn't know experientially the difference between thinking about something and doing it. So for the mind and the experience of it, thinking of it and doing it is the same. The mind, if you put the mind on a whatever you put it on to visualize it, it'll look the same. You thought about it or you did it. The same neural whatever pathways open up and so forth. So that's interesting, isn't it? Like it's like you're having. So now the body is going through the same experience as if you're actually doing it. And they've done experiments with this. Like, you know, so they go, just think about doing this, and people think about it. And then another group of people do it. And the mental and the physical, the chemical experience is the same for both groups. So that just further emphasizes that thinking about it is wrong. And you have to get rid of that. So that's the detachment. Right? At least that's one aspect of detachment. There could be others. But then obviously if you're detached, you wouldn't think about it. Why would you? So, my dear devotees, if you're going to give up something, just give it up. Don't hold on in the mind, think, well, I gave it up, I'll enjoy it. No, if you give it up, you give it up. Man mana bhava mad bhakta. Otherwise, you got to make room to think of Krishna. You know, where are you going to fit him in if you got other stuff in your mind?
Reason they have to have an inner strength to sustain,
yes,
to stay detached or give up.
Yeah. Inner strength, but that comes from, I mean, look at what you get. If you give up a little something, what do you get? You get prema. Like, wow, that's a deal. I'll take that. Like, what, if you can get prema, then what can't you give up? Like, what is so valuable compared to prema that you'd want to hold on to it? It doesn't make any sense. We just have to remember that's the goal. I was just in Mexico. We had Sadhu Sangha. It was the first Sadhu Sangha in Mexico. And I think it was Saturday night. Were you there when Sri Prahlad led that kirtan? It went to 11. So Sri Prahlad led a kirtan. And I don't know what happened. But all I can say is nobody was in the material world. Like everybody, it was like something descended. And everybody knew it. Friday night. You know, it's like I'm 73, but I felt like I was 15. Like I didn't have a body. It was like no problem. Just dance and chant. It was really special. Those experiences are so important to have. Because when you have them, then you're thinking, this is a glimpse. Mahaprabhu gave me a glimpse of what prema is and what stupid thing would I be attached to that's going to minimize the, my ability to get that. And it's like, here's Radha and Krishna. That's the highest love, the highest nectar. And if you don't become detached, you can't enter it. You're like destroying yourself. You're like harming yourself. Look what you're doing to yourself. There's this highest nectar you could access, but if you don't control your senses, you'll try to access it, and you're just on the outside of the jar. You can't get in. So it's like, why would we want to do that to ourselves, just to get a little sense gratification, which is available to the animals? You know, this one person, he's not a devotee, said something funny. He said, the only difference between humans and animals is the brain. Everything else is the same. The heart, the stomach, the chest, the arms. You know, it's like physiologically, us and the animals pretty much have all the same organs. The only thing different is the brain. Or we can say our intelligence. So it's like, okay. So these, you know, we remind ourselves, like, this is what I want. And then when your motivation gets strong, it's very easy to be detached. Yeah, this is what I want. This is what I exist for. This is why I'm here. The other thing I think, Prabhupada is giving this to us, right? It's very rare that we all found Prabhupada. And people say to me, and I'm not saying this to anybody, I'm just saying to myself, people say to me, how can you remain steady? Or how did I remain steady? And I just think, look what Prabhupada gave. Am I going to be so stupid to throw that away? That would be like I don't think anybody who's ever walked the planet could do anything that stupid. If I did that, I would feel like the number one idiot in the universe. He's giving you this, and you can end your material existence and go back to Godhead and love Krishna. And I'm going to go, nah, whatever. Let's just enjoy. That would be like the stupidest thing I could ever possibly do. And the other thing is, if we do that, how can we live with ourselves, knowing what we just did? We have to spend the rest of our life living with ourselves, giving up this great jewel. That's painful, don't you think? Like, you know, in case you haven't noticed, we all have to live with ourselves. So when we do something wrong, bad, we have to live with that reality that I did this. And we don't forget it, and it's our whole life. So why would I do that to myself? Give up something so valuable, and then I have to live with it. You could have had love of Krishna, now you have nothing. It's like one time a sannyasi left. In Prabhupada's time, no brahmachari, nobody had anything except sannyasis had their own servants. And in a good temple, they'd have their own room and all the mahaprasadam, which was like, nobody had that. Only Prabhupada had that. So being a sannyasi during Prabhupada's time, relative to the rank and file, you were up there. I mean, now it wouldn't seem so great. And one sannyasi left and he was pumping gas. And Prabhupada said, just see, your sannyas, so much prestige, so many people serving. He gave that up and now he's pumping gas. So, yeah, it's nice to remember. I'm going to give up Krishna's lotus feet and pump gas again. But now Krishna's taking care of giving me so much. So many friends. So much mercy. I think we need to think like this. That keeps us going. What do you think? I'm sure you think that way all the time. Hare Krishna. Thank you for listening. Yei tamam prapajante. Krishna says yes to whatever you say. Be careful. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gopremanandi, Hari Hari.